Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
15-2 run, breaking ankles. Lillard pulls up and knocks down the pull-up jumper as he shed his man and drills the 17-footer.
Butts Talk starts now.
Middleton bounce pass back to Giannis. Look out below. He stuffs it down with a big two-hand jam. Hide the women and children. The Greek Freak is on the loose.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Brandon, I just want to make sure, today is January 15th, 2025, correct?
Sounds about right.
So we're not in a time machine and stuck in 1995 with the Bucks taking 12 threes today.
I liked it, though. That was a fun game. I know Dick in Port Washington probably enjoyed that game tonight.
It was remarkable because I didn't have a problem with it either. It was just jarring that was the volume of threes that we saw.
It was. And
again, you see the difference in quality versus volume. I mean, the Magic take a lot of threes. They don't make a lot of threes. And I get it. Like, if a three-point shot exists, take threes because it's worth more than 2 points. But yesterday, Doug Christie was talking about this with the Sacramento Kings and with Domas Sabonis specifically, and told some of the reporters, you know, hey, Domas' shooting has gone up. What have you seen there? And mentioned, look, I've tried to tell him take more threes because even the best players in the league miss at least 60% of their threes. So who cares if you miss it? Just keep getting them up. And part of you appreciates that and thinks, yeah, you know what? You should. Like, that's how you get better at it. Then the other part of you sees tonight where the Magic took nearly 50 threes and did not have a single shooter on the floor that put any fear into your heart and said, you know what? Keep taking them, guys. We don't care. And the Bucks, meanwhile, didn't fall into that trap and just continued to pound the paint, to carry over what we saw yesterday in the win against the Kings. But today it was to the extreme where they only took 12 threes because they didn't need to take anything else. They were getting everything they wanted at the rim, and it wasn't just Giannis. Damian Lillard blowing by his guys. Brook Lopez had Tristan Da Silva on him, and it wasn't just Brook Lopez overpowering Tristan Da Silva. At least three times he beat him off the dribble. That the Bucks were doing to the Magic what so many teams did to the Bucks last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin, just a fantastic win overall. And something you and I had talked about last night was, can this carry over? Or we would like to see it carry over. Last night was a season high, 130 points, and they respond tonight with 122. So last night was certainly something that they have been able to build on. That was evident tonight. That was on full display. Domination from start to finish, these first two games of the four-game homestand. Another fun scoring run to open the first quarter. I believe at one point it was a 14-2 run. They had 19 straight points in that first quarter. You know, minus the three-point shooting, it felt like a very similar win as far as dominating each one of these games from start to finish. I got one game ball tonight. You could probably go a few different ways. I could probably hand out a few more. But I'm just going to go with one tonight, and I mentioned him last night as an honorable mention, Justin, and I thought last night that he set the tone for the offense, and tonight I think he certainly did. I don't think anybody would disagree that Damian Lillard set the tone for this Bucks offense early and often, something you and I had talked about, Doc Rivers has talked about, you know, to begin this season, is getting him going early. He had 7 shot attempts to start the game in the first quarter before he was pulled out, and I thought he did it in a different way. You mentioned the threes. He only had 1 three-point attempt in that first quarter. He only had 3 all game. He made all 3 of them, but he finished at the rim tonight much more efficiently than really maybe all season. Created a ton of good looks for guys as well. Some easy buckets for him and for his teammates. 13-19 from the field, 30 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, and 4 steals. 4 steals is something that sticks out for me, Justin. But Damian Lillard gets the game ball tonight. Fantastic stuff from the letter O tonight with a nice Bucks victory.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Was this the most impressive win of the season for the Bucks? On the surface, I think a lot of people will instinctively say no. It's in the running for me. So we'll get into that conversation And the other benefit of this win is this was one of the old good for the offensive rating and defensive rating games. So we'll check in on what it means for the Bucks and where they currently sit in both of those metrics. But again, the number to join us, 855-616-1620. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
29-point win for the Bucks. A game that felt like it was from the 90s. Because I remember being here, remember being in the Bradley Center, and there was a stretch where the Bucks had they had that 50-point win against the Charlotte Hornets back in the Bradley Center days, and that was tragically the last game that Bobby Phills played in before the automobile accident that took his life. And then I believe within the same week they had a huge win against the Orlando Magic as well. And just the way that game was played, seeing the Magic uniforms getting closer and closer to what they were in the 90s and early 2000s, the outcome of the game, and again, the 12 three-point attempts and seven makes just made you feel like you were watching a 90s game in the Bradley Center with the style that this was played in. I asked before the break, was this the most impressive win the Bucks have had this season? I'm not 100% ready to commit to yes, but it's in the conversation. And I was talking about this with a few others during the game, during one of the breaks in the third quarter, and all of us agreed that, you know, I get there's a lot of bodies out in this game for the Orlando Magic. But I would also counter with, look, the Magic have played very well without their best players this season. They got used to playing without Paolo Banchero for 2 months. They're playing without Franz Wagner for about a month and a half now. And Mo Wagner's out for the season. Jalen Suggs has been out for a little over a week now. Like, it just seems like every time you catch a Magic game, at least one or two of their best players are out. Tonight, you added to it. Still no Jalen Suggs. Your best perimeter defender is out. Goga Bitadze. I'm not sure a lot of people that don't watch the Magic frequently realize how important he's been to this team. His absence was big, but it's still a very good defense, and it's still a team that has played very well and won without their best players. They were on 2 days rest. They hadn't played since Sunday.
Yep. Great
the
point.
Bucks played last night, and you know, as we talked last night and said, hey, I get they're 500 on night two of a back-to-back, but they've started to play better. It's still 500. And we've seen inconsistencies from this group. So for them to soundly beat the Kings last night in a wire-to-wire win and follow that up with a performance where they were locked in from the start, they had an offensive game plan, they executed defensively, and it wasn't a wire-to-wire win, but it was close. All of that, to me, doesn't matter who was or wasn't on the floor for the Magic. If this isn't their best win yet, it's in the top three.
I don't know if I'd go top three. Well, let me ask you this real quick. Shout out to Jamal Mosley,
too. Keep in mind this, though, Brandon.
Go ahead.
The one that you may point to.
I know which one you're. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Didn't actually happen.
So, yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. But to kind of your point, Jamal Mosley, man, what a job he's done with this Orlando Magic team. Like you mentioned, just kind of dropping like flies, but I mean, they're still in the four seed, so they've been fantastic all year. So if I got to take out the Oklahoma City game, Justin, to your point, this one is definitely in my top five, though.
Yeah, and in a vacuum, that one is the most impressive win.
Correct. I still go to most recently the Indiana Pacers game where they were down 19, New Year's Eve day. They were down 19 points. They looked really flat. And they were able to really get it going late in that third quarter into the fourth quarter. And I say that for that team because, number one, I really, really don't like them, that Indiana Pacers team. So that is probably where a little bit of this bias comes from. But I think it's a team that also had our number all of last year, knocked us out of the playoffs. And for us to be able to respond in the way that they did, I know they beat him earlier in November as well. But for them to be down 19 points on the road in a day game where you know you're getting on the plane and going home, I thought that one to me kind of sticks out. And then I still look at that Houston game too, Justin, that 101-100 win over the Houston Rockets back in the middle of November. And that was really when the Bucks were really struggling still. They kind of got it. That was the first game of their seven-game win streak that they eventually went on. So I look at those two. But, yeah, you're not wrong. Could you put the Kings game in there too, Justin, from Tuesday night? I mean, that might be in there as well. They were hotter than anybody.
Yeah, it was a nice win against the Kings. I just not a big believer in what Sacramento has done.
Yeah, that's fair.
I believe in this Magic team more than the Kings team because of the track record and doing it without those guys. And again, your defense travels. And you wouldn't have known it watching tonight's game because we talked about how good the Bucks were, and you pointed out Damian Lillard. The most notable piece of it is they just made everything look effortless tonight. Like they took 12 threes, but they made 7 of them. They shot almost 60% on threes. They shot 63% from the field against the Orlando Magic team. That is not what Orlando allows to the opponents, and it just looked easy. Like they were winning their point of attack battles. Every single person up and down the Pat Connaughton was winning his battles. He looked really good tonight. Chris Middleton looked really good. And Doc Rivers sure said after the game too, I don't know if I'd say he's the old Chris, but he's starting to build up that rhythm, and more importantly, he's starting to build that rhythm with this group. So, you know, him saying that, and we debated this last week too, he's eventually going to move back into the starting lineup, but it's just a matter of how long does it take? How long does it take for him to get that rhythm? And tonight was a night that I did wonder. There is, if you know, an account out there on the Bucks subreddit that has been posting Chris Middleton highlights every single day until he scores 22 points, and that account was tragically banned from the sub because things started to go south with the Bucks and Chris Middleton. But he is still yet to get to 22 points, and you are wondering, man, is tonight the night that Chris gets there, finally gets up to 22? No, but it's getting closer.
He looked really smooth tonight, I thought, Chris Middleton. That, and this is kind of like, I know he didn't play last night, Justin, but I go back to even that New York Knicks game, and I know the score was not great,
yeah,
but I thought he looked good in that game too. Tonight he's 5 for 8. I mean, 14 points off the bench, and also Bobby Portis too, I thought was really good tonight. But it was really good to kind of see the Bucks, and maybe this counts. I know you and I had this conversation. Maybe this is better for another segment. Is this count as a way of winning in a different way? I know I have mentioned that this Bucks team has kind of won in different ways. I mean, this has got to count, right?
No.
Like, this has got to be one of those. This has got to be
times,
a game where you...
What, are you saying they can win without shooting threes? How many times are they going to do this?
But I'm just saying that we have now seen this team win in 3 or 4 different ways. I think we could agree there.
We've seen two teams win this season when taking 15 or fewer threes.
And the Milwaukee Bucks are now one of them. But I'm just saying, it was nice to see them not force that tonight either. Like, they did exactly what they needed to do. Brook Lopez was a big part of that. I thought him tonight down low in the paint was huge tonight. I mean, they literally, the only way they could stop him was pull him down. So it was great to see the Bucks offense, which is something that you and I have had extensive conversations about, etching into that efficiency top 10 at least, to kind of be able to score 122 points, Justin, with shooting that many threes is pretty darn impressive to me. I think that goes without saying.
You mentioned where the offense is creeping, the defense. It's a really good game for your two metrics, offensive rating and defensive rating. So we'll take a look at the updated tallies for the Bucks, where they currently sit now, and that Raptors team. Don't sleep on the Raptors because of what they did tonight. So we'll take a closer look at that matchup as well after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
29-point win tonight for the Bucks, who easily take care of the Orlando Magic. A near wire-to-wire win. Almost got that two nights in a row. They're 5 games above 500 now for the first time this season, and look to make it 6 Friday night with the Toronto Raptors coming to town. I mentioned the updates on the the ratings for the Bucks. We'll get to that in a moment. But let's head to the phone lines. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And before we do that, I just had our show ombudsman check in and give me what I hinted at before. It wasn't the 90s. It was the early 2000s, and I was in the Bradley Center for both of these games. That's how I remembered it. The Bucks beat the Hornets by 50 points on January 10th, 2000. And Bobby Phils, I think I say Bobby Phils, I don't remember now, but
I believe he did.
Bobby Phils tragically passed shortly after that game, and there was a Magic game shortly around there that I remember being here for as well. But nonetheless, it felt like a game from that era with how the Bucks were scoring and dominating the Orlando Magic with a 29-point win. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Dick,
there we go.
Haven't heard from you for quite some time, so I guess this is the near mid-season report and your thoughts on where this team is.
Yeah, I think you guys need a dose of reality here. Now, with that said, I'm still hoping that if we can get into the tournament, not the play-in tournament, the regular tournament, that I think we can do some damage. But I don't know what brownies and Kool-Aids you guys are drinking, but and eating. Tonight, saying that Orlando was a great defensive team, maybe on paper, but it was a layup show. Yeah. You know, Brandy made a joke about me saying I'd enjoy the game because we didn't shoot any threes. We didn't need to.
Correct.
So I don't understand where you're saying there's a great defensive team here. We are a mediocre team. We are closer to the play-in tournament than we are to third place. We've had one signature victory, and it doesn't count. It was against OKC in the British Airways tournament, or whatever that airline was that sponsored that. We're a mediocre team. I mean, I hear you guys talking the last several nights that we're talking like the old Bucks. I mean, I think we can do some damage, but there are some flaws here. We have a couple of games, then you fade. You know, at least tonight, one of the biggest stats that I saw tonight was that we didn't throw it into the first row with someone cutting away from the ball. I think that's the first game in the last five games where I didn't see that. I still worry about Indiana. If Orlando gets their players back, it's going to be tough. I think we're on the precipice of falling into the play-in tournament when all is said and done. Look at the schedule that's coming up. We've got one signature victory. That's it. What do you say?
I suppose what I would say is I don't disagree, or at least wholeheartedly disagree with a lot of the points that you made, and I don't think either of us have, you know, tried to present this team as the Bucks of old. Like we've pointed out, you're 0-8 against the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. You know, I don't know that closes the door and means it's over. It's certainly not encouraging. By the numbers,
I agree. I don't think it closes the door because we lost those games. It's how we respond to some of the other games. I mean, look at the standings. You know, it's bunched up.
Yeah.
We could be overtaken very easily by anybody behind us.
Right, but what I would counter with is I don't disagree with your point on Orlando is going to be tougher when they get their players back, assuming they do get to that. I mean, I do disagree on pushing back on this being a good defense. They are, by the numbers. I mean, you wouldn't have known it by watching tonight's game, but they are still the number two rated defense in the league, and it's not just a 10-game stretch. They have consistently been in the top three all season long. That is how Orlando wins these games.
But okay, but here's my point. You guys are saying this is a great victory tonight.
It is.
They did what they should have done against a bad defensive team tonight. I don't care what their long-term record is.
And what I would counter to that with is you just told us, and I don't disagree with it, this is not what the team has been doing of late. So them doing this on night two of a back-to-back against a team that even without their guys, it went down to the wire in each of the first two matchups. I mean, with Paolo Banchero coming back for the first time out for 2 months, it came down to the Bucks getting an offensive rebound on a free throw, and that's how they won the game. The game prior to that in the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup, they won on a Damian Lillard step back where they needed every ounce of it to come back and win that game. So this is how the Magic have played these games. And you know what we've seen from the Bucks this season, I don't think you would disagree with this. You beat the Kings last night. You snap that 7-game win streak. It's a wire-to-wire win, and you get this, all right, here's where they start to build momentum. That's where you come out and have the rug pulled out from under you. So and I think Brandon would agree with this, saying this is a nice win, an impressive win, is, all right, they put together this consistent and did it on night two of a back-to-back for an old team. Mm-hmm. The Magic haven't played since Sunday.
I got one more point, and this is one I want to leave you with something that we agree on, because the last couple of nights when I listened to you guys, I hesitated calling in. But I forget what night it was. The biggest thing to me, and Justin, you might remember this, I was always the guy calling in saying, we got to get the second seed, the third seed. You go before, lull the fourth. You know, the biggest thing you guys said the other night that I agreed with you 8 million percent is, I would sooner see us beat healthy at the end of the year and in that next level right before the play-in tournament. What scares me about the play-in tournament, you can lose to a team that gets hot. You're much better than them. Yeah, and so let's leave it at that. I agree with you guys on that, but some of the other things, I'll keep calling.
Dick, never hesitate to call the show. You're always welcomed, even if you disagree.
Thanks for the call, Dick. And yeah, I mean, look, don't finish 9 or 10, because that's where it's one loss and you're done. It's still not an ideal spot to be in at 7-8, and no, you got to win one of two games to get in, but don't finish 9th or 10th is the big piece. And look, we've talked about this before, the schedule in front of the Bucks. Actually, let's save this for the next segment, because Dick did bring up good points, right?
And absolutely,
the inconsistencies of this team. I don't disagree with the overall statement that he had, in that the optics of this team, the inconsistencies, and it's clear, not just the 0-8 record against those teams. I'm not saying they cannot get to their level, but it is clear right now the Bucks are not at the level of the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks. I won't dispute any of that, but I don't think it means they can't get there. And his point, too, about the standings and how far the Bucks could potentially drop. They're fourth right now, but I think we talked about this last night. I've mentioned it before. More of why tonight was important, and as bad as that 0-8 record against the top three teams is, it's a much different story against those other teams that Dick just spoke about. So we'll get into that conversation coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, so the question over where the Bucks are going to finish, and the later we get in the season, I think it's worth revisiting of, hey, if I were to trade you and I could guarantee you this team is healthy, but the cost is you're the sixth seed, or you're guaranteed to be the seventh seed, and you've won, theoretically, your play-in tournament game, and you're the seventh seed, but Giannis, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, all the guys, they're fully healthy. Would you take it? I think the closer we get to the playoffs, that's going to be an interesting conversation. Dick's concern that the schedule that's on the horizon for this team means there's a good chance that they're going to slide in the standings. Right now, they're fourth. And this win wrapped up the season series with the Magic, so you have the tiebreaker there, which is incredibly important. Because, again, you have to assume Orlando is going to get healthier and get their guys back and, in turn, look like a much different team. But you own the tiebreaker. And as of right now, you're two games up in the loss column. So the same conversations that we could have about the Bucks being on the chase for the Knicks, for the Celtics, really for the Knicks. I mean, the Celtics, you're five back in the loss column. You don't have the tiebreaker. Same thing applies to the Magic, because the Bucks right now are two games back in the loss column of the Knicks, but you don't have the tiebreaker. So you're going to have to outplay New York by three games from here on out to pass them. That's what Orlando has to do to the Bucks. The Indiana Pacers are two games back in the loss column. The Pistons are two games back. The Hawks are two games back. The Heat are just a game back in the loss column. They are playing right now. But I point all this out because, look, if it's going to be tough for the Bucks to pass the Knicks, it's going to be tough for those teams to pass the Bucks, especially if they're owning the tiebreakers. And they do right now, not just against the Magic, against the Magic, Pacers, Heat, Pistons, and Hawks. Right now, those teams make up 5 through 9 in the East. The Bucks are a combined 9-1 against those teams. So every single game you have left against those teams are the most important games on the schedule from here on out. It'd be great to win those final two games against the Knicks and the Cavaliers, if for no other reason than to say, hey, we didn't go winless against this group. Mm-hmm. But you're going to have to hold those teams off. The Magic aren't going to go away. The Pacers, as much as we hoped, maybe this team was a flash in the pan, and the Hawks of 2021, and they'll start to slowly fade into the background. They haven't. They've been playing much better. They've been pretty hot. The Pistons, you still like your matchup with the Detroit Pistons, but they've been hot. They're going to be threatening for the play-in tournament. Who knows what's going to happen with the Miami Heat tonight? I believe is the last night of the Jimmy Butler suspension. The reports are he's reiterated to Pat Riley and is set to have a face-to-face with the Heat owner Mickey Arison. Hey, I still want to be traded, and I'm not going to sign with you in the offseason. I'm not going to sign an extension. That could go a number of different ways. Maybe Miami trades him and takes a step backward. Maybe they trade him and bring in pieces that help them, and Miami Heat are even tougher and more formidable. So it's going to remain bunched up, you get the sense. But the Bucks have had quite a bit of success against those teams. And if that continues, as long as it's not a disaster final 35 games that we pointed to when you start February 1st, 35 games, 32 of them are against teams that are either in the top 10 spots or figure and hope to be a playoff team. So as long as we're not talking about, like, man, the Bucks went 14-21, something like that down the stretch, if you win those games and keep winning those games against those teams, five teams,
mm-hmm.
You're not going to finish lower than fifth in the East here.
No. And if you check out the strength of schedule for the remaining strength of schedule, now this is obviously going to change throughout the course of the year. But as it stands going into tonight, Milwaukee has the 15th hardest schedule in the NBA. They have 43 games remaining going into tonight. So, and right behind them is Miami. Detroit's number 8.
Yeah, I mean,
so
everybody in the East is there because they're playing Eastern Conference
teams. They're playing each other. But I think you mentioned the 9-1 record too, Justin. And I think that only loss came on a second leg of a back to back, if I'm not mistaken, against
the
Atlanta.
Hawks.
Yeah. So, and again, between the Chicago Bulls, Atlanta Hawks, Detroit Pistons, you could probably rope right now the Miami Heat in there, because that team could look a lot different in the next few weeks. But I guess you can have Philly in there as well. I know they're still a few games below Chicago. But I like my chances. And I've said this all year long, and nothing's really changed. I've seen enough of trying to fight for one of those top four seeds, and I understand the importance of it. You know, I'm not doubting that at all. Getting more home games than away games are obviously important. But we haven't been able to have the conversation where, like, yeah, this has worked or this hasn't worked. And we just haven't had a fair hand in the fight. And I understand that injuries are part of the game. But I'm still, even if they were to get into the play-in game or the play-in tournament, I'm still okay with that as long as they're healthy. I don't think they'll be there. I agree with you, you know, based on their remaining schedule. And like, look too, like we've seen this team rise to the occasion more times than not. Like, have they thrown up some stinkers? Sure. New York is a perfect example on Sunday afternoon, but we've seen this team when the competition is higher, they kind of have risen to that occasion. I mean, they played the Cavaliers really tough when they weren't fully healthy at the beginning part of the year. They played Boston really tough all three games this year. I think the biggest defeat was a 6-point loss at Boston. That was Chris Middleton's first game back. So, yes, does the schedule get tougher? It certainly does. But I think the more, you know, these are building blocks, in my opinion. This week is a building block. You know, outside of those two games after the new year between Brooklyn and Portland, this team has been building good wins. Like, regardless of who they're playing or who they're not playing or who isn't playing, tonight's a really good match, a really good win. Like, if you're downplaying the win tonight, I encourage you to watch this Orlando Magic team more often because they're a really good team. They're well coached, and like you said, that defense travels anywhere. So I'm not, you know, it's not sunshine and rainbows, and there's nothing wrong with this Bucks team. They obviously have things that they have to work on, Justin, but they're starting to see a little bit better of a connection between Giannis and Dame, and Chris Middleton has looked good coming off the bench. Obviously, we're still not healthy either. I mean, you can make that argument too. We haven't had the full plethora of guys that we've wanted, you know, to have on this lineup, including Gary Trent Jr., who missed tonight's game as well. So it goes both ways. Tonight was a fantastic win, and a win, if you're a Bucks fan, you should be feeling pretty good about.
Yes.
Are you shooting me down now? Are you taking my mojo?
I would just say they're pretty close to health. Like, they're healthy now. You know, like, I know they're playing without Gary Trent Jr., but
yes,
compared to what we've seen in years past, you're getting this runway with Giannis.
Maybe,
and
but are we sure? Yeah. You and I talked about Giannis's hand. Are we sure that's healthy?
He's still
Chris
on the
Middleton
floor.
He's still on the floor,
and he had a triple-double last night, and he had a double-double tonight. So I would say the Bucks are healthy for all intents and purposes, especially comparative to what it's been last year and going into the playoffs. But that's going to be the important part, to stay healthy. The Magic and the Pacers have significantly easier schedules than the Bucks from here on out. So again, you got the tiebreaker with Orlando. You can get the tiebreaker with the Indiana Pacers. You're 2-0 against Indiana this season. So securing those is going to be important for this team. But yeah, like, you can't do anything about the 0-8. All you can do is start to beat good teams consistently. The Kings were the hottest team in the league. The Magic, consistently. And you wouldn't know by just watching tonight. The Magic are still a very physical and tough defense by the numbers, the second best in the league. So it's a strong win tonight for the Bucks. Now, Friday night has the makings of a letdown. So it's going to be imperative that the Bucks, the way they played tonight, the way they played last night, that's what you come out with Friday night against the Toronto Raptors team that isn't very good, but just beat the Boston Celtics, a full-strength Boston Celtics by double digits tonight. And, of course, the 76ers matchup Sunday night. It'll be game number 41 for both the Bucks and the 76ers, so we'll be at the halfway point for both of those teams. We'll take a look ahead to Toronto after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Friday night, we'll see if the Bucks can keep this rolling with the Toronto Raptors coming to town. The same Toronto Raptors team that comfortably beat the Boston Celtics tonight. And you may ask yourself, well, who missed the game for the Celtics? No one. Celtics are 28-12 now on the season. They have all the feels of a team that is bored with the regular season. And, you know, you can point to a number of things and reasons for why we don't see teams repeat as champions. To me, it really comes down to one thing. Boredom and malaise. That you get bored with the regular season when you win a championship. Every team goes through it. That you know what it takes to win a title. It's never the same as the first time that you do it. I mean, we've heard a few people on this team talk about, like, the hunger is still there, but it's not quite the same hunger as when you're starving and haven't tasted that before. So once you do win the title and you realize what it takes to win four rounds and the sacrifices that are necessary, you start to preserve yourself a little bit and keep some gas in the tank. You can get bored with the regular season because it's not quite as important as the playoffs. And I think that's a big piece of it. And that's the danger of, you know, if it exists, great. But it is tough to just flip that switch. Like, you almost have to be significantly better than the rest of the teams that are out there in order to do that, because of those traps that are out there with boredom setting in with the regular season. And, you know, you think back to the teams that have repeated, it was in a different era of the league when you had the super teams, like the super-duper teams of Steph Curry and Kevin Durant on the same team, the Miami Heat going to four straight NBA championships with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, like those types of teams, the Jordan Bulls, teams that were significantly better than the rest of the league can afford to get by with that. We've seen more and more parity in the league. So it does feel like, and again, I will preface with this, and I think you would agree, Brandon, I'm not saying the Bucks are better than the Celtics. They haven't played better than the Celtics. They haven't played better than the Cavs. They haven't played better than the Knicks. By the numbers, the Bucks have just been okay, slightly better than average. I mentioned the metrics that we'd give you the update on. Defensively, the Bucks are the 11th rated defense in the league. They're tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers for 10th. They are within striking distance of the Golden State Warriors, who are 8th. So you've been pretty solid defensively. Offensively, they're 12th. Where you're not in the middle of the pack, but you're not in the top 10 in both of those areas. Your net rating is 10th. They have just consistently been okay this season. Cavs have not. Thunder have not. The Celtics, even with, you know, just going through, hey, this hasn't been the same team we saw win a championship last year, by the numbers, the Celtics have still been a more impressive team. The Knicks have been a more impressive team. But having said all of that, it does feel like it's wide open this year. And I don't mean that to take away anything from what the Cavs are doing on pace for 70-plus wins. I believe the Thunder are as well. The Celtics, the Knicks, they're still very good teams. But it doesn't feel like there's that one juggernaut. And even last year, as much as we didn't want to say it or hope that it was going to be the case, the Celtics were far and away the best team in the league. By the numbers, by the eye test, by every time you played them, this team's on another level. It does not feel that way this season. And that's why the important part, more than anything, is the health. Like, just continue to get better week by week, game to game, week to week, month to month. Start to build that momentum, play better, and stay healthy. Because for all the comparisons that are going to get made between the Bucks and the Packers after what happened on Sunday, and the yeah buts, look at the Bucks record, 0-8 against these teams. The number one difference, the Packers did not have arguably the best player in the league in a sport where there's only five players on the floor at the same time, and that absolutely, one player is more important than anything. And this guy has that level in him to absolutely destroy and put the team on his back. Like, that is the number one thing here for the Bucks. Stay healthy, and you have, if not the best player, one of the three best players in the league, and that gives you a chance in this league.
Yep, and at the end of the day, Justin, that's all you can ask for is the chance, and to have a fair chance for this team, and health is a big thing of it, and tonight was a kind of a microcosm of their season. You know, a great win, a dominating win, and then, but you lose a key piece, you know, who hopefully isn't going to be gone long term, the Andre Jackson Jr. So it's another thing for this Bucks team to kind of, I don't want to say overcome, because I don't want to take anything away from Andre Jackson Jr., but he's been in the starting lineup for the last 2-3 months. So it's another thing that they're going to have to adjust to. I'm curious to see what that starting lineup, if he can't go, looks like against this Toronto Raptor team, who defends Giannis pretty well. So you mentioned Giannis putting the team on the back. It's going to be a fun matchup for him on Friday night, for me to watch him on Friday night. And if they can get a win on Friday night, Justin, I'm ready. I'm getting close. I'm getting close to buying all in, to putting my chips to the table and having his team make a little bit of a run going into the All-Star break and feeling good going into the later part of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take time for
that. It is. Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, it's going to.
I don't think any of us will have that feeling until you get into March and see that this team is consistently doing that. But you can't have the opposite feeling. So just avoid that. Like, don't have the wheels fall off leading into that. And so far, after the first 10 games of the season, they have done an excellent job of avoiding that. Friday night, though, going to be an interesting test with the Raptors coming to town. A team with a big win tonight, and a team that on paper, the way they play defensively, can present some challenges to the Bucks. So we'll see if they can keep things rolling Friday night. 7 o'clock tip-off, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.